You're listening to episode 334 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Now, I have a really exciting and I think valuable topic to talk about today. But before I get into this week's episode, I have one quick favor to ask. One of my biggest goals this year is to grow the podcast. I want to make sure that the information we're bringing is getting out to as wide of an audience as possible. And I need your help to do that. The thing is, ratings and reviews are one of the things that help me grow the most on iTunes. There's an iTunes algorithm that looks at your podcast and it says, oh, people are rating this one. They must like it. So if you haven't submitted a review or a rating, I would be so appreciative if you would do so. It literally takes like 30 seconds. And in exchange, as a huge thank you, I'm going to send the first 5 people to review this episode of the podcast a copy of my Life Design Transformation Blueprint absolutely free. All you have to do is submit your review using the link in this episode description, grab a screenshot of your review, and email that screenshot to info@peakmindpsychology.com. I will personally send you a copy of my Life Design Transformation Blueprint as a heartfelt thank you. I so appreciate it. All right, let's get into today's episode. The U.S. military has a word that I really like, and that word is VUCA. It's actually an acronym, and it stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. I mean, can you think of a better word to describe the way that we've all been living for the past couple of years? VUCA, that's it. I mean, think back to when life was normal. And I'm going to just throw some big air quotes around that word, P.S. But think about how much has changed since that time. Now, I mean, honestly, you might appreciate some of the changes. Some of them might have been a net positive in your life. And others, they might have been or even may continue to be really hard. We have collectively and individually gone through huge changes in the last couple of years. But now I want you to think about the smaller changes. I mean, the ones that happen fast and often. I mean, in our lives, mask mandates are on. Nope, now they're lifted. Oh, wait, now testing is required. Okay, but now it's not, but you have to be vaccinated. Hey, we're returning to the office. Oh, wait, the return is actually delayed, so continue to work from home. You can go to your favorite restaurant today. Amazing. Oh, wait, nope, now they're only open for curbside. Your kid can attend in-person school or daycare. Ooh, until they can't. I mean, if it feels like it's been a lot, it's because it has. And something that I want to say right at the outset is that you're not weak. You don't lack resilience. You're not, quote, handling it badly. It's just been a lot. It's been relentless. It has been VUCA. And today, we're going to dive into the topic of change and change management. And this episode is going to be relevant and valuable to you, whether you're going through a major or a minor change, whether that change is a net positive or a net negative change. The information in this episode is going to help you navigate the waters of change more effectively and help you feel better throughout the process. Good or bad, change always brings with it some level of difficulty, so stay with me for some ways to support yourself and support others as you move through change and transition. Okay, so I want to talk about 3 things today. First, I'm going to talk about just some baseline stuff. Why is change so hard for us? We human beings have a particularly difficult time with changes, and there are some key reasons why. And just knowing them can help you understand what you might personally be going through, and that alone can help in such a meaningful way. Clarity is always helpful. So that's the first thing we're going to talk about. Second, I want to talk about why or what we experience as we move through a change or a transition. We're actually going to dig into the difference between those two words, P.S., change and transition. There's a really important distinction there. And there are some predictable phases and experiences that you'll likely have as you move through a transition. And we're actually going to draw from one of the models of change that I really like to help us clarify and understand your experience. Now, there's a lot of different models of change. There's a bunch of them that I don't really like for reasons that I won't get into in this podcast. There's a couple that I really adore, and we're going to dig into just one of them today that we use in our work in Peak Mind. And finally, the third thing I want to do is offer you a few things you can do to support yourself if you're going through a change. Having a few tools in your toolbox to support yourself can go a long way toward helping you thrive through a change, which is really what we're after, isn't it? So let's start with the basics. First off, what exactly is change and why is it so hard? The first thing to know is that all change is hard. I said it. Like, when we dig into topics like change management, we tend to focus on hard changes, negative changes, changes that happen outside of our control, things that kind of happen to us from the external side of things. We also tend to focus on big changes. Now, I don't want to negate the impact of these changes. They're meaningful. They impact us. However, I also don't want us to lose sight of the changes that seem to be a net positive. Getting married, having a baby, accepting a new job or a new position that you're excited about, a move to a new location that you're excited about, for example. And I also don't want us to lose sight of the small, day-to-day, seemingly inconsequential changes. Something small, like your grocery store simply changing their mask mandate, it's enough to register. Good, bad, big, small, change is hard. But why? It's important to understand why. It's important to remember one of the most fundamental principles of our minds as human beings. Our minds want to get us through the day alive while spending the least amount of energy possible to do so. Now, I'm talking about a fundamental principle of the mind, which number one, the first thing that that should tell you is that if you are a human being with a mind, this applies to you. If you're having a hard time or you're struggling with change, positive, negative, good, or big, small, positive, negative, you don't lack resilience. It just means that you're a human being with a mind. And again, your mind wants to get you through the day alive while spending the least amount of energy possible to do it. So let's dig into that a little bit. Our minds have an extraordinary job. They have to take in and digest a crushing amount of information on a daily basis. They have to make thousands of decisions. They have to constantly assess the environment around us and make adjustments to our actions, our emotions, and our thoughts in response to that environment. This all requires a tremendous amount of energy. And one way that our minds conserve energy to have enough of it available to do its job is to create habits or shortcuts. It creates these rules of thumb that allow us to basically back burner certain information or make certain decisions automatic so that we don't have to work so hard or think so much about them. It just reduces the amount of energy that a bunch of the decisions and information processing that we have to do in a day that it takes. Now, here's the thing. This is where we get to the crux of why change is hard. When we mess with these habits or shortcuts or rules of thumb, our mind doesn't like it. When we mess with them, we are causing our mind to have to work harder than it would like to expend more energy than it would like to. And it doesn't have a lot of excess energy to expend in the first place. Now, there's a lot that I could go into there. We actually talk in a lot more depth about this when we teach this topic in some of our workshops and our corporate seminars, but I'm just going to leave it there for now. But I want to highlight just one of these shortcuts or rules of thumb that's relevant when we talk about change management. And that set of shortcuts or rules of thumb is our belief systems. Our beliefs are simply things that our mind assumes to be true about us, about others, and about the world around us. Our belief systems allow our mind to feel like it knows what to expect. It makes it feel like the world is predictable. That, going back to that fundamental principle, that we can backburner a bunch of decisions and a bunch of information processing. Intact belief systems give our mind a sense of peace and predictability. This is the opposite of VUCA. Intact belief systems allow our mind to divert a bunch of energy away from the seemingly predictable details about ourselves, others, and the world, and use that energy in more important ways for things that we actually do need to think about. And as a general rule, again, this applies to human beings with minds, so all of us. As a general rule, when we put in our mind in a situation that it doesn't like making it expend energy it doesn't want to expend in a way that it doesn't want to have to expend it, our mind has a very predictable response. Its response is to send us difficult emotions like anxiety, anger, resentment, shame, regret. And our mind does that. It makes us feel that way in an attempt to get us to fall back in line and go back to the way that things were before the change. We're going to get into that in a little bit more detail in just a bit. So just put a little mental pin in that for a second. So what happens when we experience a change? It challenges our belief systems and the assumptions that rest upon them. Remember, we have beliefs about ourselves, about others, and about the world around us. And being told you have to wear a mask in a place where you didn't have to wear one yesterday challenges our beliefs about the world around us in a small way, but it's enough to notice. Finding out our spouse betrayed us in some way challenges our beliefs about others, about an important other in our life. Adopting a new exercise routine, this is a net positive. It can challenge our beliefs about ourselves, our core identity, and the type of person we are. Being laid off, I mean, that challenges all of those beliefs about us, about others, about the environment around us. I could go on, but you get the picture. It doesn't matter what it is, net positive, net negative, big, small. Change challenges our belief systems, and that puts our mind in a situation that it doesn't like. Change causes cracks in the armor of our belief system. And our mind sees that as a direct threat to the shortcuts that it relies on so heavily to get us through the day. I mean, the thing is, the minds of human beings, they don't adapt quickly to these threats. They are very adaptable, but it doesn't happen fast. We don't immediately abandon our beliefs, shrug our shoulders, and move on without any friction. No, our minds resist. They resist, and here's where I'm going to go back to that pin I told you to put in your mind. They resist by attempting to get us to fall back in line. And to do this, they make us feel angry or resentful about the change. They make us feel anxious about what the change might mean for us and cause us to resort to distorted thinking patterns where we sort of grasp at straws and we attempt to predict the future or foresee other people's behavior or even misjudge other people's intent or influence or the role that they might have played in the change itself. Think about, I'm going to go back to the tiny thing of the mask mandate. Think about situations you've heard, right? A person goes into a store or gets on an airplane. They get angry that they have to wear a mask and they lash out at the store worker or at the flight attendant on the plane. They're looking for someone, they're sort of grasping and looking for someone to blame and seeing that flight attendant or that store worker as having a role in the change that they're experiencing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that that flight attendant is the one who set a national mandate to wear a mask on a plane. I don't think it's that person. I also don't think it's the store employee who did that. They just happened to be the person you encountered that day. So you can see in even this small way, the small example, how that can happen. Imagine how it happens on a large scale change that happens in your romantic relationship, your relationship with your boss, your company as a whole, as it goes through changes. The bottom line is that change is hard because our minds crave, they need predictability in order to feel comfortable. And all of the difficulty we experience as we move through a change is a result of our mind attempting to restore predictability, to resist the change before it's finally able to accept the change and put in the hard work to rebuild our beliefs in a way that conform to the new view of you or of others or of the world that it needs to rebuild in order to function on the other side of the change. Now, just a pause. Can we take just a moment to feel a little bit of compassion for the tough job our minds have? I mean, these poor things. Our mind's response to change is a lot like my 6-year-old's response when she's worked for over an hour to build a Lego tower, only to have her 3-year-old sister come in and knock it down. She, my 6-year-old, is our mind in this analogy. She worked hard to build that tower, our belief systems. And her sister, the 3-year-old, in this analogy, the change, came in and screwed it up. And so the 6-year-old does what we all do. She gets mad, she yells, she blames, she might even cry. But eventually, she calms down and she rebuilds. She builds the tower again. This is a predictable cycle, and Susan Bridges and her colleagues have a beautifully succinct model of change that captures it really perfectly. Now, I mentioned it before, there's a few models of change management that I like. There's a whole bunch that I don't like, but the Bridges model is one that I'm going to focus on today. We'll go into others in future episodes of the podcast. They're useful for a lot of different sort of nuanced reasons. But in the Bridges model, there are 3 stages to any change. The first change is called the ending. It sounds strange to start a change with the ending, but it's true. So many times we skip this phase, but any change begins when we realize that something is ending. We're losing something. Something is about to be different than how it used to be. In this stage, this is when our mind gets hit with the realization that its Lego tower is being knocked over by an unwielding 3-year-old. The beliefs that we used to rely on likely won't suffice any longer. And with almost certainty, guaranteed, bet a bunch of money on it, our mind rebels to some degree. It resists. We feel the uproaring of the negative emotions that I talked about before. We lash out. We grieve. We might behave in a way that isn't like us. Blame and resentment in this phase are common. And the second stage, actually, before I go on, you can see why that stage is important to not skip over. Human beings have emotions. We're going to have them, like it or not. And skipping over that phase skips over the very human, healthy, natural experience that we all have when something changes around us. Now, the second stage of the Bridges model is called the neutral zone. I don't love this name for it, but I like the idea of it. We enter this stage when our mind accepts that our beliefs will need to be rebuilt. We start to calm down. But we don't yet feel certain or bought into the end result of the change. We're not there yet. We begin to let go of old beliefs. We let go of our identity if we need to. God, that's hard. And we let go of our old patterns. And then we start to experiment with new ones. We try things on for size. We take small steps. We make mistakes. We're sort of sorting out the new way to be after the change. And then the final stage is called new beginnings. This is where we restack the Lego tower. We actually adopt a new identity. We figure out what our values are going forward and what they mean for who we are after the change. We adopt a new belief system. Now, this brings us to an important distinction and the key reason why I like this model and the others that I tend to like in terms of a model of change as opposed to the ones that I kind of cast aside. The models that I like this one, they make a distinction between the terms change and transition. A change is the thing that happened, the layoff, the divorce, the move, the mask mandate. It's the external driving factor that sometimes is in our control, but many times is not. In contrast, a transition is our internal human felt experience of navigating the impact of the change. Do you see the difference there? I mean, this is a little bit of a soapbox, but change management that simply focuses on creating a clear step-by-step plan, a clear communication plan with key messages that articulate the change and what's going to happen and a project plan for implementation, those could be successful if we could just remove all the humans from them. But we can't. It's impossible and unreasonable. Companies, organizations, romantic relationships, partnerships, they're made of people, of human beings, of people who will experience their own transition in the face of the change. So, how do we support ourselves or other people in their transition through change? Stay with me for the next segment. I've got a few ideas for you up next. Okay, so before we dig into a couple of resources for you, let me just say one thing, and I just want to reiterate. If you're going through a transition right now, I'm sending you so much love. It's not easy. You're not weak. You don't lack resilience. There's not something wrong with you because you're grieving the loss of your old identity, even as you get married to someone you're so excited about. That might have been a little bit of a personal confession there. But anyway, you are a human being with a mind that is working so hard to rebuild its Lego tower. You can do this. And I have so much to say about how to support yourself and others through this transition. We have so much content and programming and workshops and just so much on this in the Peak Mind Center. But for today, I want to just focus on three things. First, take some time to feel, understand, and dare I say, appreciate the emotions you're experiencing. This is especially important in the first phase of change, the ending that I talked about. And I've linked to a blog post in this episode description that introduces a concept we call emotion sifting. In essence, there's a lot to it. There's a lot more here, but I'm just going to give you the quick hit so you can practice this a little bit. In essence, I want you to think about the transition you're in. And I want you to run a few hypotheticals in your mind. Pick 3 to 5 different emotions, positive and negative, just a whole big span. Just write them down really quick. Now, I want you to go one by one, and I want you to try them on for size. And I want you to ask yourself this question with these exact words. What about this change or experience might make a person feel, insert the emotion. So what about this experience or this change might make a person feel jealous or angry or happy or resentful or afraid or excited. Notice, and I asked you to do this with those exact words, notice that you're not asking about you necessarily. We're running a hypothetical here. What might make a person, not necessarily me, but a person, what might make them feel that way? Try each emotion on for size. The thing is, emotions are harder to manage and accept when they're all mixed together, and unfortunately, that tends to be how we experience them. And it's incredible the clarity you can get from sifting your emotions apart like this. Now, like I said, there's a lot more to this. We do this exercise with a lot of our corporate clients and in a lot of our workshops. It's always just mind-blowing to people. But I want you to just practice that simplified version of it. Sift through your emotions about how you're feeling about the change, and it gives you the opportunity to accept and think about them one by one instead of them all mixed together. Second thing, I want you to practice self-compassion. In episode 254 of the podcast, we dive into the concept of self-compassion in a lot more depth. This isn't some kind of fuzzy, soft, new age concept. It sounds like it is, but it isn't. The brain science backing the use of self-compassion is rock solid. In a nutshell, practicing self-compassion means doing three things. It means, first, acknowledging the situation that you're in and how you're feeling. Just don't judge yourself. Just, hey, my company is restructuring. It likely means my responsibility, my title, my team, my boss will change. I feel angry about that. I feel confused. I feel misled. But maybe there's a little bit of excitement and optimism about what it might look like. But that's a whole lot of emotions to experience at one time. This is how I'm feeling, and this is what's happening. Then I want you to remember that you're not alone in this. I want you to remember that anyone, any other person, if they were in the same situation, they would likely feel pretty similar to you. You're not, weak for feeling that way. You're not alone. If anyone's company was restructuring and it had that big of an impact on their day-to-day life, they would very likely, naturally, normally feel those emotions. Of course you would. So that's number two, remembering that anyone in this situation would feel that way. And then number three, be kind to yourself as you move forward. Ask yourself over and over, what do I need right now? This deliberative way of supporting yourself through difficult times, it doesn't negate the bad feelings. It doesn't negate the difficulty going on around you, but it can help you move through it while maintaining the value system and the way of being that you want to have. Because when it's all over, there's nothing more difficult than looking back and feeling like you regret the way that you acted during a difficult time. And lots of times we can help ourselves avoid some of that by being our own best friend, by practicing self-compassion, by supporting ourselves through the change. And finally, last tip, use a little life design. As you move into the second and third stages of transition and change, I want you to think about how you would want to design your experience. Be intentional here. Write this down. Review this episode. Submit your review and get the life design transformation blueprint. There's great tools in there to do exactly this. But think about, how do you want to show up as a result of this change? Who do you want to be at the end of this? What values will you live into? What's important to you? Many times, because we don't like certainty, our minds hate it, or don't like uncertainty, our minds hate VUCA situations. We're in such a race to get back to the feelings of certainty and predictability that we rush through the second phase of transition to get to a resolution. I am so guilty of this. We move so fast that we end up making suboptimal decisions or even default decisions that don't end up serving us well. if we could just sit with the gray area for a bit longer, spend the time to design our way forward, our outcome can be so much better. I mean, I could do 10 podcast episodes just on that topic. And I'm going to drop a link to a blog post that touches a bit more on designing your work life, but know that there is an ocean of depth underneath this topic. My friends, transition is a part of life. It's inevitable, and I so hope the information and resources in this episode help you feel more equipped to handle your next change or transition. And one last reminder, I will send the first 5 people to review this episode of the podcast a copy of my Life Design Transformation Blueprint absolutely free. All you have to do is submit your review using the link in this episode description, grab a screenshot of your review, and email it to info@peakmindpsychology.com. I will personally send you a copy of my Life Design Transformation Blueprint as a heartfelt thank you. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet, and I am so grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I will see you next week. All right, that's what I got. And P.S., oh, this is my first episode recording with my new mic. I'm so sad. The very first professional mic I ever bought years and years ago officially died. So rest in peace, old mic. Hello, new mic. Let's move on. It's going to be an awesome year.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.